Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. This time we're going to be looking at Dr. Ayo Adewuye's session on 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he had this really interesting take on this idea of treasure in jars of clay and how that kind of plays out in our life. I think it's going to be a super fascinating conversation. So you ready to jump in?
I am. I'm excited.
Awesome. So, you know, I think one of the things that really struck me as I was listening to Dr. Adewuye was this emphasis on Paul viewing his ministry as fueled by God's mercy, you know, not by some superhuman strength or like charisma, but by God's grace working through him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he goes right into that. It's like right there at the beginning of this letter to the Corinthians. And it's Paul is acknowledging that he is not sufficient on his own. You know, it's not a pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of approach. It's very much God's grace working through his weakness.
Yeah, it's that idea that, you know, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And I think so often we, you know, I know in my own life, I can fall into this trap of like, you know, I gotta figure this out. I gotta do this. I gotta be strong. I gotta be like the one to like, you know, solve all the problems. And I think that's where burnout comes in. You know, Dr. Adewuye talks about that as well. Like when we see our ministry or even just, you know, our work as solely dependent on our own effort, it's a recipe for exhaustion.
Absolutely. It's not sustainable. Yeah. And, you know, this kind of approach, this ministry of mercy, as he calls it, that's where the antidote is, you know, like what if we started approaching our challenges, not, you know, hyper focused on our shortcomings, but on God's mercy and the grace that's available to us. How do you think that would change things for you?
I think it would be huge. You know, it's like almost like a pressure valve release instead of, you know, constantly striving to like achieve and perform and be perfect. It's like, no, we acknowledge that we need God's help and we allow his strength to shine through our weaknesses.
It's that surrender. It's letting go of that control and saying, you know, I can't do this on my own, but God can do this through me.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us to, you know, another point that I think is super relevant, especially in today's world. And you know, Dr. Adewuye makes this really strong case for integrity.
Yeah.
You know, especially when we're facing criticism. So he talks about how Paul was constantly being accused by his opponents of being dishonest, of being, you know, a charlatan, a fake fraud, and yet his only defense was his consistent track record of integrity.
And he just kept on living it out. You know, he didn't try to, you know, engage in these shady tactics or, you know, even defend himself or, you know, promote the gospel in some way that was, you know, less than above board. His whole life was just a testament to what he believed.
I think that's so striking because, you know, it's so different from the way we often see, you know, arguments and debates and discussions happening today. It's like he didn't resort to, you know, personal attacks or, you know, trying to like dig up dirt on his opponents.
Yeah.
He simply pointed to his life as evidence of his sincerity.
It's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? How do we respond when we're criticized unjustly? You know, how do we defend our reputation? Do we resort to those same tactics that are so common in the world today? Or do we follow Paul's example and let our lives speak for themselves?
Yeah. That's a question worth pondering for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, this idea of integrity, it kind of leads us to this next concept that Dr. Adewuye brings up, which is this idea of spiritual blindness. He talks about how the God of this world, meaning the forces that are opposed to God, can actually blind people to the truth of the gospel.
Right. And I think that's important to clarify because, you know, a lot of times when we talk about spiritual blindness, people think, well, that's just people being ruefully ignorant or stubborn. But it's actually something much deeper than that. There's a spiritual dimension to it that we can't fully grasp.
Yeah. And he uses this really interesting illustration of an atheist who claimed to be his own God, right? Like, I am in control of my destiny. I am the master of my own universe.
Yeah.
And yet, despite all of that intellectual, you know, kind of like posturing, this person was still profoundly unhappy, unfulfilled, and ultimately, you know, searching for something more.
And it highlights the limitations of human reason. You know, we can try to explain away the spiritual realm. We can try to, you know, create our own meaning and purpose. But ultimately, there's a void in our hearts that only God can fill.
Yeah. It's like there's this veil that prevents people from seeing the truth, even when it's right in front of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be really discouraging, especially when we're trying to share our faith with others. You know, we present the gospel clearly. We explain it logically, but it's like it just bounces off.
Right. And I think that's where we need to remember that it's ultimately God's work to open hearts and minds. Our role is to be faithful witnesses, to plant seeds, to water them. But the growth ultimately comes from God.
That's a good word of encouragement, because I know I can get really frustrated when, you know, I feel like I'm doing my part, but people just aren't receptive. It's like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where we have to step back and trust in God's sovereignty and his timing.
And remember that every person's journey is different. You know, what resonates with one person might not resonate with another. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and tailor our approach accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And this whole conversation about spiritual blindness, it really ties into what I believe is like the core message of 2 Corinthians 4. That's mm-hmm. this idea of treasure in earthen vessels. And Dr. Adebuja just does such a brilliant job of highlighting that stark contrast.
Yeah.
You know, you have this immeasurable power of the gospel residing in these flawed, fragile human beings.
It's mind-blowing when you really think about it. Like, God chooses to work through us despite mm-hmm. our brokenness, our weaknesses, our limitations.
Yeah. You know, and I think so often we get caught up in this idea that we need to have it all together. We need to be perfect. We need to be, mm-hmm. you know, super spiritual or super talented or super whatever in order to be used by God. But this passage flips that idea on its head.
It's a complete paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the example that he gives of this blind preacher who's able to perform miracles. Like, think about that for a second. God is using a blind man to give sight to others.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes me think about, you know, times in my own life where I felt inadequate or unqualified or just, you know, like I'm not the right person for this job. And yet God has somehow used those very weaknesses to accomplish his purposes.
Right. It's in those moments of surrender when we step aside and let God work that his power is truly on display.
Yeah. It's like our imperfections actually become a platform for his strength to be displayed. It's not about us. It's about him.
And that's where the real beauty lies in this paradox of treasure in earthen vessels.
Absolutely. And I think it's a good place to pause for now. We've covered a lot of ground today, but there's still so much more to unpack. We've got this idea of, you know, this incredible contrast between, you know, weakness and strength, suffering and glory, the seen and unseen. And I think we're just scratching the surface. So be sure to join us for part two of this deep dive as we continue to explore these powerful truths and how they apply to our lives. Okay, we're back. And, you know, one thing that's really sticking with me from our last conversation is this idea of focusing on the unseen. And, you know, it's not like we're just, you know, pretending that everything's fine when it's not. You know, it's more like we're holding these two seemingly contradictory truths at the same time. You know, we can acknowledge the pain and the brokenness of the world while also clinging to the hope of a future reality where God makes all things new.
Yeah, that tension, I think, is something that we as Christians are called to live in. You know, we're not called to escape the world or pretend that the bad things don't exist, but to be in the world, but not of the world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and to see things through the lens of eternity.
So it's about having that long-term vision, even when, you know, the short term feels incredibly tough. You know, it's like those moments when you're going through a difficult season, but you hold on to the belief that God is working things out for your good, even if you can't see it yet.
And that's where faith comes in, right? It's that trust in God's character and his goodness and his promises, even when our circumstances seem to contradict everything we believe.
And that ties back to, you know, this core concept of treasure in earthen vessels.
Yeah.
You know, our weaknesses, our struggles, those become a testament to God's power when we maintain that focus on the unseen.
Because it's in those moments of weakness that God's strength is made perfect.
Yeah. Instead of striving for, you know, worldly success or recognition, we're embracing a different kind of strength, the strength that comes from surrendering to God's power, working through our weaknesses.
And that strength is rooted in hope, the hope of resurrection, the hope of a future glory that far outweighs anything we might face in this life.
Which brings us back to Paul's, you know, seemingly outlandish statement about his hardships being light affliction. Remember how Dr. Adouye himself expressed disbelief? You know, he's listing all the things that Paul endured, the beatings, the imprisonments, the shipwrecks. And he's like, how could anyone possibly call those things light?
It's almost comical when you think about it, right? But Paul's perspective was so radically different because he wasn't fixated on his immediate circumstances. He was looking beyond them to the eternal weight of glory that awaited him.
So it's not that the pain wasn't real. You know, it's not that he wasn't suffering, but it was temporary in light of eternity.
Exactly. And that's what makes this passage so challenging and so encouraging at the same time. It's a call to shift our perspective, to see our struggles through the lens of eternity.
And, you know, it makes me wonder, how does this impact the way we view our own struggles? You know, the things that we're going through right now, the heartbreaks, the disappointments, the losses, you know, how do we hold on to that hope when it feels like everything is falling apart?
I think that's where Dr. Adoia's explanation of 2 Corinthians 4.16-18 becomes so crucial. Remember, Paul talks about the outward person perishing while the inward person is renewed day by day. He's contrasting the seen with the unseen, the temporal with the eternal.
So even if things are falling apart around us, there's a deeper spiritual reality that's constantly being renewed and strengthened by God.
Yes. And that's where we need to fix our gaze, not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
This idea of focusing on the unseen, it feels a little abstract, though. You know, how do we actually apply that to our daily lives? Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm facing, you know, a mountain of bills, or I'm dealing with a health crisis, or I'm, you know, just feeling overwhelmed by the weight of the world.
Yeah.
You know, how do I shift my focus to the eternal in those moments?
Well, I think that's where Dr. Adoia indirectly answers that question through his emphasis on the joy and purpose that's found in ministry. You know, he highlights how Paul, despite all the hardship that he endured, never lost sight of the joy of serving others.
Yeah. He talks about how Paul viewed ministry not as a duty, but as a privilege.
And that's a really important distinction, isn't it? It's not something that we have to do out of obligation, but something that we get to do out of love and gratitude.
Okay. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. But how do we actually connect with that purpose in a way that sustains us through the challenges, you know, especially when things aren't going well?
Yeah.
How do we find that joy?
Well, I think it starts with aligning our lives with God's will, remembering that our ultimate goal is not to build our own kingdoms or to seek recognition for ourselves, but to bring glory to God.
So it's not about ignoring the difficulties or pretending everything's fine, but about finding meaning and purpose in the midst of them.
Yes. And recognizing that even our struggles can be used for good, that even our brokenness can be a testament to God's transforming power. Think about a time when you faced a setback or a disappointment. Looking back, can you see how God might have used that experience to shape you or to teach you something valuable?
Absolutely. There have been so many times when I've gone through something difficult and later realized how God used it to grow me in ways that I could never have anticipated on my own. It's like our struggles often become the catalyst for our greatest growth.
And that growth is fueled by hope. The hope of a future glory that far outweighs our present afflictions. A hope that anchors us, that keeps us from being swept away by the storms of life.
This is making me think about those times when I felt overwhelmed by challenges, you know, and it's in those moments that I've had to cling to the truth of God's promises to remind myself that He is faithful and that His plans are for my good.
Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And often what we perceive as setbacks or failures are actually opportunities for growth and transformation.
So even when the outward person is perishing, the inward person is being renewed day by day. It's a constant process of transformation that happens when we fix our eyes on the unseen realities of God's kingdom.
And that's where the true joy is found, not in our circumstances, but in our relationship with Christ, in the knowledge that we are loved and accepted and that He is working all things together for our good.
Man, this is good stuff. I feel like we could talk about this for hours. We've explored so much already, the depths of suffering and grace, weakness and strength, the seen and the unseen. But before we wrap up, let's shift our focus to how this all connects to the joy of ministry. That's what we'll pick up in our final segment. Okay, so we're back for our final segment. And, you know, this whole idea of finding joy in ministry, it's really been kind of like a theme throughout our conversation. And it's striking how Dr. Adoia connects it to all these other things we've been talking about, like suffering and grace, weakness and strength, and you know, that tension between the seen and the unseen. It's like, it's not about gritting our teeth and enduring hardship. You know, it's about discovering this deep, abiding joy right in the middle of it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's remarkable how Paul, you know, despite facing all this opposition and suffering, never lost sight of that joy. He saw his ministry as a privilege, a gift from God, not just some like burdensome duty.
Yeah. And that goes back to what Dr. Adoia was highlighting earlier about, you know, Paul viewing his ministry as fueled by God's mercy. Like when we grasp that we've been given this incredible gift of grace, it totally changes our perspective and our motivation.
Yeah, it really does. It's like it shifts us from obligation to gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, and that gratitude, that awareness of being a recipient of God's mercy, it becomes like the wellspring of our joy, even when things get tough.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
But let's get practical for a minute. How does this actually translate into finding joy in serving others? Because let's be real, it's not always sunshine and roses. You know, we all have those days where we feel drained and discouraged and like our efforts aren't making any difference.
You're so right. And I appreciate that, you know, Dr. Adoia doesn't sugarcoat that reality. He acknowledges the challenges, you know, the setbacks, the times when it feels like you're pouring your heart and soul into something and getting very little in return.
So how do we keep going when we feel like that? How do we hold on to that joy when things are tough?
Well, I think he gives us a couple of key pointers. You know, first, we need to keep our eyes fixed on the ultimate goal, like on the eternal significance of what we're doing. You know, like Paul, we need to remember that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves, something that has lasting impact.
So it's like we're playing our part in God's grand story, even if our role feels small or insignificant.
Exactly. And that leads to the second point, you know, remembering that our primary aim is to bring glory to God. It's not about building our own platform or seeking recognition for ourselves or getting caught up in the numbers game. It's about being faithful stewards of the gifts and opportunities God has given us, you know, using them to point others to Him.
And I think that's where the true joy comes in, when we shift our focus from ourselves to others, from our own needs and desires to the needs of those around us.
Yes. When we pour ourselves out in service to others, even in seemingly small or insignificant ways, we tap into this wellspring of joy that can sustain us through any season.
And it makes me think about, you know, those small, everyday acts of kindness that we often overlook. You know, listening to a friend who's going through a rough patch, offering a helping hand to a neighbor, you know, just simply being present with someone who's hurting. Like, those things might not seem like much in the grand scheme of things, but they can have this ripple effect that we may never fully comprehend.
I completely agree. You know, it's about being faithful in the little things, knowing that even the smallest acts of kindness, you know, performed with a heart of love, can be used by God to bring about extraordinary results. You know, it's those seemingly insignificant moments that often make the biggest difference in people's lives.
So it's not about, you know, waiting for some grand opportunity to serve or make an impact. It's about showing up with love and compassion in our everyday interactions,
yeah,
day in and day out, even when it's hard, even when it's messy, even when it feels like no one's noticing.
Because ultimately, you know, our service isn't about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. And I think that's the secret to finding lasting joy in ministry or in any act of service, you know, doing it for an audience of one.
Man, this has been such a rich and insightful deep dive. You know, we've explored some profound truths together. You know, that tension between suffering and grace, the paradox of finding strength and weakness, the power of focusing on, you know, the unseen realities of God's kingdom. And through it all, we've been reminded that even in our brokenness, we can be vessels of God's love and power.
It all comes back to that powerful image of treasure in earthen vessels. You know, our value doesn't come from our accomplishments or our outward appearance, but from the treasure that resides within us, the very Spirit of God. And that treasure is what empowers us to live lives of purpose and joy, even in the face of adversity.
So as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a question to ponder. How can you, like Paul, find joy and purpose in serving others, even amidst the challenges you face? You know, let that question simmer in your heart and see how God might use it to spark something beautiful in your life. Until next time, keep diving deep, friends.